You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And we are praying that you are having a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. I want to invite you out to our Bible study tonight. 7 p.m. is when we will be meeting in our sanctuary. We have study guides. We have tables. We have the topic. We have pens so that you can take notes and all of that sort of stuff. All we need is you. And so if you'd like to come and be a part of that, our address is 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. And we would be honored if you chose to dive into the Word of God with us as we study His words so that we can implement them and live life to its fullest. So today we are going to return to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. We had been talking about the priest who had not prepared themselves and for this sacrifice, for this celebration of Passover, even though it wasn't taking place at the time that God had said that it should take time, they were going to go ahead and celebrate it anyway. But the priest had not prepared themselves. They hadn't sanctified themselves. They had not set themselves apart for God's holy purpose. And as a result of that, there begins to be a ripple effect of people who are inconvenienced and unprepared to celebrate the Passover. Let me begin reading in verse number 14. It says, "They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and they took away all the incense altars and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. They stood in their place according to their custom, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood received from the hand of the Levites, for there were many in the assembly who had not sanctified themselves. Therefore, the Levites had charge of the slaughter of the Passover lambs for everyone who was not clean to sanctify them to the Lord. For a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, 'May the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary.' And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people." So not only was there a problem with the priests who had not prepared themselves, when it came time for the celebration of the Passover, there were a multitude of people who had not sanctified themselves either. They were not in a spiritual condition of cleanliness, having their, you know, their sins atoned for and things like that. They weren't ritually clean. They should not have been permitted to partake in the Passover celebration, but they did so anyway. And there are a lot of people in Christianity today that they don't ever want to talk about repentance. But repentance is not something that you do once and then you never have to do it again. But instead, repentance is a lifestyle where every day you make the choice to turn away from your will to embrace God's will. And so you are constantly pursuing God, and that sets you up for the benefits of walking in covenant relationship with Him. So in 1 Corinthians 11:27, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." And so Paul addresses to the Corinthians there that there were people who were not participating in the communion, the celebration of the Last Supper, the koinonia, the fellowship with God. They were not recognizing the seriousness of the event and the necessity to be participating in that, having benefited from the work of God. In Passover, it was the angel of death passing over so that the children of Israel were not killed. In New Testament, the Passover became, because Jesus died on the cross, so that we did not have to experience spiritual death. Paul goes on and writes to the Corinthians and lets them know that there are people who are living with physical ramifications because their heart is not spiritually right with God, and they are participating in a holy celebration while they haven't dealt with the breach of sin in their life, the condition of sin in their life. And he says, this is something that needs to be dealt with. So when you go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 30, you see in the Old Testament a precursor, if you will, to what Paul was having to deal with in the New Testament. And so there was actions that were taken so that there could be a sanctification, a setting apart of the multitude. They ate the Passover in a manner in which was contrary to what was written. So because we have a God who is a God of mercy, because we have a God who is a God who forgives, Hezekiah, the king, who was prepared. There were priests who were unprepared. There were people who were unprepared. And Hezekiah begins to cry out to God, and he says, "May the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his father, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary." Hezekiah begins to intercede, and I would encourage you that if you've got people in your life that you know, maybe they're family members, maybe they're loved ones, maybe they're coworkers or neighbors, that if they are not where they need to be spiritually, that you would begin to intercede on their behalf. They may not be celebrating the elements that they should. They may not be partaking of the word. They may not be partaking of church. They may not be celebrating communion. They may not see any importance to it at all. Pray for them anyway. Intercede. Because it says here that in verse number 20, that the Lord listened to Hezekiah. And I will tell you that when God's people pray, and they're praying according to the heart of God, God's going to listen to those prayers. And because he heard Hezekiah's prayer, he ended up bringing about healing. So let's look at his prayer. It's not a long prayer, at least not what's recorded in the Word. And it says, "May the good Lord." And so I want to remind you today that when you are praying and when you are praying for revival or you're praying for loved ones and family members to be saved, that you remember that the God you are praying to is a good God. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Jesus said there is none good but God. And so thank the Lord that he is a good God, and his request to God is that God would provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God. So God always has been and always will be the God who provides, the God who provides himself, the God who provides it, everything that is necessary for life and godliness. He is the God who is more than enough. And so here the provision is for atonement. So on the Day of Atonement, there was a sacrifice and a discharge of people's sins in the Old Testament. That atonement lasted for 1 year. It had to be repeated year after year after year. And so the high priest would come, and he would deal with his own sins first, and then he would go in, and there would be a sacrifice of the life of a goat, whose blood would then cover the mercy seat, and the blood would be applied. It would have been a very messy event. But there was also a second goat. And the second goat, the high priest, would lay his hands on the head of that goat, and he would confess that that goat was now carrying the sins for the entire nation of Israel. And then that goat would be driven from the camp. It would be driven out into the wilderness. And the intent was to cause the people of Israel to realize that they weren't supposed to go back and partake of those again, that there were two creatures whose existence was forever altered. One was cut short, and the other one was cut off from the rest of the flock and the rest of the herd. And, you know, the sins were to be seen no more. The guilt, the shame was to be carried off. And so that was the Old Testament picture that is being provided here in 2 Chronicles 30. But in the New Testament, Jesus is the one who provides for us the atonement. It, however, is not just about the death. It is not just about the carrying away of the sins, but it is about restoring the relationship that we were always intended to have with God. So I heard this a long time ago, and it only works in the English language, so... but if you want to remember that reconciliation aspect of atonement, where the sins are taken away and they're forgiven and they're carried away, and they're carried away as far as the east is from the west, don't forget that it's also about unity being restored between God and his creation, and it creates an at-one-ment. So it takes the word atonement and says, you know, that my relationship with God is now restored to A-T, second word, one, at-one-ment. And so there is a unity that is restored because of what God has done. So may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God the Lord. And so you and I, we do need to prepare ourselves. I hope that when you you go to the house of God on Sundays, some of you might go on Saturday nights. Bigger churches have some Saturday night services and things like that. But I hope you're just not rolling out of bed, you know, brushing your teeth, combing your hair, and saying, well, you know, I guess I'll head to church. I hope that you are actually preparing in advance. So my preparation just to be in the house of God, from a energy standpoint, an attendance standpoint, a being ready to worship standpoint, not including all of the speaking that I do, but just preparing myself. I start getting ready early in the week. I schedule my sleeping so that I am ready to get the best night's sleep I can get on Saturday. See, sleep for me is very intentional. I have the ability to wake up and stay awake for hours in the middle of the night at that time. So I prepare myself, do activities in such a way that I'm going to be ready to go to bed, so that when I get up Sunday morning, that I'm doing my best to prepare myself to give my best in worship to God. So preparation involves being determined. It's not something that happens on accident. It means you've got to be inclined towards that. And what we are preparing ourselves to do is we are preparing ourselves to seek God. And we've done a entire series on seeking God, what we're supposed to seek. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So this word seeking, it means to seek with care, to be intentional, to investigate, to make supplication. One of the things that I picked up on in the lexicon was it was used in such a manner that it described handling a coin or rubbing it repeatedly to the point where the stamp on the coin was effaced. It was you handled it so much that it was becoming more and more familiar to your touch. When it's talking about God, it's talking about consulting him in a constant manner. And so you and I, we're supposed to do that, and it's got to come from our heart, our innermost being. It's got to be what we're inclined to do. And so Hezekiah is praying for a people who have not done all of the ritualistic cleansing steps to prepare themselves. But he's praying. He said, God, I know that there are some people here whose hearts have been in the right place, but their actions haven't. And Hezekiah wouldn't be wrong. It had been over 250 years since they had celebrated this. Can you imagine the things you've forgotten when you haven't paid attention to what God had been requiring, wanting, desiring for two and a half centuries? And so he says, God, would you provide atonement? Even though he's not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And so verse 20 says, and the Lord listened and responded to Hezekiah, and he healed the people. A few weeks ago, I read an article, and I don't know how old the article was. It showed up days and days and days on end in social media, but it was a very sad article, and it talked about a person with a high profile name recognition who a few years ago made headlines because of his very public confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they were making headlines for their denouncement of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they said, I'm no longer a Christian. I am no longer a believer in Jesus. And the explanation that was given was because there had been things that they had prayed for that they didn't get an answer for. And I will tell you that God hears, God responds, but his response may not always be what we want. A person told me one time, he said, you know, you're the pastor and you get everything you want. And I said, then I'm really bad at it. I'm really bad at it, because I learned a long time ago, it is what God wants, not what Bob wants. So, you know, there was a meeting not too long after I came to the church, and we were discussing something, and I had put a lot of work and time and preparation into it, and the decision, you know, was going one direction, then all of a sudden it reversed course, it went a different direction. I wasn't happy. And I still got to lock up the building after everybody else left. And I shut the door, took about 4 or 5 steps, and God's response was, Bob, your pride has got to die just like everybody else's pride has got to die. And I will tell you that I will never forget that. And so in my pastoring, I take my personal desires and I set those aside, because my personal desires are just that, they're personal. When I pastor, I don't pastor from my personal opinion or my personal desires. I pastor what's best for the church, what's best for the people. And so I have consulted and advised staff people who had job offers other places. I've recommended that they take those job offers if I felt like it was what was in their best interest, even though it wasn't in our church's best interest. And several weeks ago, actually a month ago today, as a matter of fact, one of my former staff people was back in the area, and they came to church, and I knew they were coming, but I had gotten sick and ended up not being able to be at church that day. And so I missed being able to see them and celebrate what God has done in their life since they relocated back to a different region of the country. But I always want what's best for God, what's best for his people. And so Hezekiah prayed, God responded, and like I said, it doesn't mean that the response is going to be what you want, but it will be what is best for you. Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go back to the Father, because if I don't go back to the Father, then the Holy Spirit's not going to come. And so when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, it is not about the person being used in the gifts. It is about what is good for the entire church. And so those are the things that are taking place. And so what the result was is that God healed the people. God healed them. If there was a plague that's like sometimes broke out, whenever the children of Israel were stubborn or disobedient or in rebellion, they could be repaired, rebuild. I think of the $6 million. We can rebuild him. So God made them whole, because whenever we come to the presence of God and we are celebrating God and we realize that his standards are much higher than the idols that had become so pervasive in the hearts of the lives of the people of Judah and the 10 northern tribes of Israel, you want to know that God can get you back to where you're supposed to be. And I want to thank God that he is our Savior, he is our healer, he's our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and he is our soon and coming King. I thank God that he is a God who listens and responds, and he knows where your heart is at. And so the Bible says that he knows the thoughts that we think, he knows the intents that we have in our hearts, and even if we fail in the area of preparation, God will never fail in the area of preparation. He is a good God. And so I pray today that you will take just a moment and thank him for his mercy and his grace that he has bestowed upon your life. We're going to move on to chapter 21 or verse number 21 in tomorrow's broadcast, and we'll begin to see what we came to chapter 30 to discuss in the first place, and that is that the Levites taught the good knowledge of the Lord. So may you have a wonderful, wonderful day. May you prepare your heart to seek the Lord God, not just during special occasions, but you'll prepare your heart each and every day. Seek, and you will find that the Lord is good. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.